What's your top five?
I can't believe you just asked me that question, because I was literally sitting here going, as long as he doesn't ask me what my top five are, we'll be okay.
It's funny, my girlfriend turned to me in the car on the way back from this, is like, what's your top five? I'm like, you know very well, I know next to nothing about hip-hop music.
See, well, no, so
Beastie Boys, whoever did that, so that was the Sugar Hill Gang, that's right, the Sugar Hill Gang, so, I know that one song.
Chris reveals his whiteness, take
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I am a big hip-hop fan, but there's no way I could do it in a vocal form. Like, I want to sit down, actually, and kind of think it through and write it down, and, you know, so, yeah, I think when I end up doing a written review of this film, I'm going to have to include a top five, like, but sure. I don't think I'll be creative in that sense. I'm sure there's going to be critics all over the country doing this, but,
I know that Groove is in the Heart song. Does that count? I don't know who did it, but I know the song.
If it counts for Proving Your Whiteness Part 2, then yes.
Damn it. Oh, I used to listen to Ice-T when he was in Body Count.
Actually, there's a joke about that in the movie, I think.
Yes, I believe there is as well. But this is the Chris Rock film, starring, written, and directed, that we always knew he had in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I don't know, did he just not have the courage to stand up to Hollywood and say, fuck you guys, if we're going to do a movie, we're going to do it my way.
Right,
because
yeah.
Every film we've seen him in before this was one of those... Quite frankly, anybody could have done this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A generic insert current popular Hollywood comedian celebrity here, fill in with standard joke writers, make enough money to be worth the studio's time type comedies.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a comedian that feels refreshed, engaged. In fact, I wonder to some extent if this isn't really the story of how he decided to make this movie.
Yeah, it's an incredibly autobiographical movie. Like, I don't even... What's his character name in the film? It doesn't matter, because his character name is
Andre.
Chris Rock. Andre Allen. Yeah, his character name is Chris Rock, and that's totally fine.
It might as well be Chris Rock.
Yeah,
he's pretty much he's playing a comedian that's turned into a film star who made a bunch of films that he kind of looks back on, even though they made a bunch of money. He's like, ugh, mm-hmm. I'm kind of embarrassed about those. And... he's trying to reinvent himself as a serious actor, but what we're finding out is that part of the problem is he found that alcohol was tearing his life apart, and he doesn't know if he can be funny without it.
Right.
Which
is
probably actually true for a lot of comedians, mm-hmm. but like they aren't funny without it.
Same with musicians.
The moment they quit doing drugs, you're like, yeah, you kind of suck now.
Yeah.
I wish that wasn't true.
It's a sad truth, yeah. Or a sad often occurrence.
Yeah, the Beatles' truth, best stuff in their career was once they got sober.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that we've talked here and there about some actual plot points of this movie, and I do want to get into that, but it's almost like you can't review this movie without talking about the kind of real-world scenarios around it. And, you know, Chris Rock wrote a piece for The Hollywood Reporter that's been getting a lot of traction on the internet, which I read and I found very interesting. And I do feel like, you know, what he is suggesting is that Hollywood absolutely won't allow someone like him to be in movies like this, and so he went out and did it himself. And I think that's the scary. It's like, you know, I'm not sure that Chris Rock didn't have the guts to do something like this before, but you know, no one was going to let him do it, so he had to go out and do it himself.
True.
And that's a ballsy. It's not just that you don't have the guts. It's like, man, can I get the funding? Can I go out and can I write? Let's say I write a movie. Can I then go out and secure the funding that lets me direct it and star in it? And you hear these things all the time. I mean, even like Stallone with the first Rocky movie, like he risked it all to tell the studio, like, no, I have to star in it, which sounds like ego, but it ends
right.
up being, you know, the most brilliant movie could have made. And that's kind of what Chris Rock is doing with this top five. And again, that's not really a review of the film.
No, I mean, we're just
talking about sort of the circumstances.
So to some degree trying to envision how this even happened.
Right.
And I mean, there's a lot of like feeling like he took a step back and actually looked at what the most respected comedians, his peers right now, are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not the guys who fell off a cliff like Eddie Murphy, which the film has a lot of fun at his expense for just that. But people like Louis C.K. and Mark Maron, what they're doing with this sort of real, not afraid to like to show yourself naked and dirty,
mm-hmm.
you know, that feeling.
Which he actually is naked and dirty in this movie
exactly.
in one amazingly funny sequence.
And I feel like it's like Louis C.K. and Chris Rock got together and wrote a Before Sunrise film.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I hate to have to admit that I still haven't actually seen those movies. The Sunrise trilogy, the Before trilogy, or whatever.
Films.
I hate having to admit that publicly because I just got to sit down and see those movies. But I absolutely, like, despite not having seen them, was sitting there going like, oh, this is like Chris Rock's Richard Linklater Sunrise movie, yeah. You know?
I mean, not to the degree in which those are extremely arty and very direction.
Right.
Just
right.
A conversation between two people.
Right.
But the soul of this movie is just that, as Chris Rock, he's trying to promote this big new film, very serious film about
a Haitian
uprising where 10,000 white people die on screen. Yeah. Good luck selling that. He is kind of forced to do an agreement with the New York Times, a publication that has regularly thrashed everything he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But the interviewer in question is Rosario Dawson, who, you know, I mean, come on, it's Rosario Dawson.
She is magical in this movie.
She's just so adorable.
I'm a fan of hers, but I think this is the best I've ever seen her. I was just so, like, taken by her. I had such a big crush on her.
Great chemistry between her and Chris Rock is that their relationship starts off completely antagonistic,
mm-hmm.
and, like, ends up evolving into this one you just can't take your eyes off
right,
of the whole
right.
time.
Yeah.
Just watching them banter and disagree,
mm-hmm.
but do it in a way that they actually are starting to respect each other over the length. Because, you know, it starts with not just him wanting nothing to do with this woman in her publication, but her being totally disdainful of him, too. Like, I don't want to do this fucking either, but I get paid, so what are you going to do?
But I saw you once do live comedy, and you were great.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's where is that? That kernel of greatness.
Right.
She had that interest in finding that. And you know, I am kind of I'm a sucker for this movie. I am into hip hop, and especially like more like conscious hip hop, not the sort of poppy mainstream stuff that's out right now. So I really love that there was so much sort of referencing the old days and like his hometown and where he came out of, like what made him the guy that the big, huge, famous comedian that he is. So when he goes home and they start having the top five conversations and they're making Tracy Morgan making fun of how he just ate an apple pie and all this
so
stuff,
funny.
I was just laughing and laughing. And even like when they sort of poked some fun at some of the more modern poppy, I maybe shouldn't spoil this cameo. There's a cameo by a rapper who I would have thought takes himself way too seriously to have done this cameo.
Good cameo.
And to have, like, you know, been self-deprecating. Like, I love that sequence and I have so much more respect for I will not say the name
of
the rapper.
And there's a lot of really clever, well-done cameos in here.
Mm-hmm,
there's a lot of people
mm-hmm.
who are just good actors and actresses who are playing other people, basically, without so much as putting the name on who it is.
Right.
You know, the movie never says, oh, this is that person. Or maybe they're just sort of an aggregate of types of people, like Gabriel Union, who's playing Alan's fiance, Erica Long, who is like a reality star that you think the movie is going to shade with nothing but a sort of like, clearly she's the wrong girl for him and she's really shallow, so fuck her, she's the villain.
Right.
And the movie never will let itself go completely there.
Either. Yeah, yeah, which is
nice. They're still talking about these people as like, yes, the reality is not the reality, but let's not forget there actually is a reality underneath all that,
mm-hmm.
too.
Sure, yeah.
There's a lot of interesting stuff like that. J.B. Smoove, who I always like, is his sort of best friend, assistant, who you think he's going to cast as the sort of like the guy who's determined that he stay the way he is now and like fits all these things.
Right, right.
But there's more to him going on, too.
I really loved that character was just his best friend.
Yeah.
They didn't try to mine a ton of drama. And, you know, that's actually something I've heard Chris Rock say. It might have been in the piece that I'm talking about that I referenced from The Hollywood Reporter, where he was saying, like, nobody wants just a movie about just a successful comedian just kind of trying to make his next project, because that's not high concept enough. It's not, you know, this is just a really basic story of, you know, like a budding romance or a career crossroads. I also, another thing I'm a big sucker for and I kind of loved here was the entire film took place over a very short period of time. It wasn't just one day, but it was like a single weekend, you know?
Right.
Sometimes that kind of thing can bite you in the butt because there were some events that happen that you know wouldn't happen that quickly, or, you know, he's in and out of, like, jail almost, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
Sorry. And you feel like, wait, how is this happening in, like, a single weekend? But I am a sucker for that kind of thing. Like, when you have to jam your whole story into a ticking clock, which in this case was this big reality TV wedding between Chris Rock and Gabrielle Union.
Right. That's coming up, and he's doing the interview in the days leading up.
Right,
to it.
Right. And so that's, yes, it's very much a device, but it's a device that often works for me, and yeah. I just often enjoy.
The film's not really about that. It's not really about the strange relationship that's developing between him and Rosario Dawson. It's a self-realization film. Mm-hmm. It's a character-driven piece completely, which is not something you expected from Chris Rock at this point.
Right.
I mean, if you watch just his stand-up or his own talk show, yeah, absolutely you'd expect mm-hmm. something like that. But from his filmic output, no.
Yeah, no, not
and
so much.
I think you're right when you're saying, like, that's the whole thing, is that it's not a big, it's not like, oh, here's our concept for this film.
Right.
That you have to get this
you're
high
concept.
You're
a secret agent,
thing.
And yeah. Anthony Hopkins is your mentor.
Why, you know, unless you have an idea and the script to go with it that's sparkling, don't bother. That's mm-hmm. just irritating.
Yeah.
Here it's like, I'd rather see comedy that's actually from the heart, that not a lot actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be funnier.
Right.
I mean, we can connect with that.
Chris Rock is not a great actor. I mean,
no.
Even in this film, he's not a great actor, but he's so funny, and he's so intelligent. He has so much to say.
Yeah.
And so this is a best case scenario of, like, put him in the situation, or he put himself in the situation because yeah. he made it happen for himself.
I mean, I feel like
to say what he wants to say.
I feel like I'm not sure he could make lightning strike twice in a film that he's starring in like this.
Because
as you said, he's never really had a strong acting skill. Mm-hmm. And even here, where it's clearly all stuff he really wants to say and really from his heart and
right.
personal experience, even then, it stretched at points.
Yeah.
You want to go, that's great. You made your point. You showed that you could do this. Now go and write stuff like this for other people who can.
Yeah, yeah. Write and direct. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, the walking and talking shots, like the, you know, the Linklater shots, they're really good, especially yeah. because he was playing off Rosario Dawson, who was just the gem of this movie.
Overall, a lot of the humor, most of the humor works really well. I will say they push it too far with the one sequence with Cedric the Entertainer, who I've never found funny.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh, I first
encountered him in that original Kings of Comedy film, and I just thought he just nailed that whole sequence.
See, he's my least favorite part of that whole movie.
That's so funny. I really thought that sequence was hilarious.
I guess if you like Cedric, you'll like this sequence. If you yeah. don't, you probably won't. But it felt like one of those, like, we're going to see how gross we can push this film.
I mean, the sequence is his "this was my rock bottom"
yeah.
sequence. So if any sequence was going to feel out of place for the rest of the movie, it was going to be that one.
Sure.
And they do go real gross, though.
That's the thing. It's like, even for me, they pushed it a little too far on
yeah,
the gross.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
And I think they might have pushed
on.
It a little far for the 5-year-old sitting behind us. But that's for another time.
You shouldn't bring a 5-year-old to a 5-year-old, a rated R film. I'm just saying. But there's certainly a lot of other stuff that does work. There's a bachelor party scene where Jerry Seinfeld and Adam Sandler show up.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
That is really funny.
It's really funny.
It's
yeah.
like, I hate to say it in films like this where you're like, my favorite part was the part with those cameos where I recognize those famous people, but as good as everything else is in here, that was my favorite part.
Oh, man.
At least in terms of laughing out loud
right.
stuff.
It was anyway. Funny. It was funny. But in part, that was possibly because it was like, oh, we're going to put like guys that are funny white guys and stick them in a situation that's more traditionally black and
right.
ask them who their top 5 favorite artists are, you know, hip hop artists are or whatever.
And
it's funny.
I didn't even see Doug Stanhope. Apparently he's in here somewhere, but I never noticed him.
I don't even think I know who that person is.
Oh, he's a very popular kind of born out of Austin stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to let you listen to his stuff sometime. It's pretty in the tradition of Bill Hicks type of guy.
Interesting.
Anyway, let's go ahead and go to final thoughts. What'd you think, Ed?
Yeah, I think this movie, it was TIFF at Toronto where it first played, I think. I'm pretty sure. It got a lot of buzz out of a festival.
Yeah.
And it created a bidding war because this was an indie film. Like, Rock secured the funding and made it himself. So, like, there was kind of a bidding war for a studio to pick it up. And so I went in with, like, really, really high expectations. And I guess it didn't meet them in the sense of, like, nothing about this film redefines comedy. You know, yeah. I mean, it's very formulaic. It follows, like I said, it's got the tropes of the taking place over one weekend, and it's got the Linklater inspiration to it. And we didn't really touch on this, but it's very much just a romantic comedy. I mean, yeah. there's like, hey, there's a lot of barriers set up between these two people potentially maybe getting together. But in the end, it's just like a great example of formula just clicking, you know? I will say, like, sometimes you can even see the formula happening right before your eyes, but have the film be entertaining enough for that to not matter that much.
Very true.
You know? And so, is this film great? I would say no, it's not a great film, but I was very entertained. I laughed a lot, and actually, I'm not a big romantic comedy guy at all, and it just worked for me. Like, I think, again, Rosario Dawson was a huge piece of that, and Chris Rock's just being able to tell the truth was huge. But man, she was really magical, and there was a sort of hokey, like, Cinderella thematic thread going through the whole movie. And I loved the ending. I'm not going to say what the ending was, yeah. But just it ended on such a strong, like, just classic romantic comedy beat,
yeah,
that I had goosebumps at the end, yeah. You know? And so, man, I really enjoyed it. And it just isn't perfect, and it's not the salvation of comedy that maybe it was buzzed to be coming out of TIFF. So I would say I'd give it, like, I would say a 7, but maybe an 8. I would say I'd give it 8. You got to get back to stand up to get back to your roots.
Right. I agree with everything you're saying. And I think there's a whole nother level to this that is really Chris Rock being dispirited at the state of black cinema. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason for this movie's existence to some degree is him feeling nauseated about that Tyler Perry owns all black cinema at this point. Yeah. I mean, he specifically
calls
out Tyler Perry's formula and how insultingly stupid it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, this movie is an argument for saying we can make all black, largely black cast and ethnic cast films that aren't pandering,
right,
stupid scripts.
Right.
You know, we can make films that actually assume our audiences are intelligent and will make money. And hopefully that's exactly what Top 5 is going to do.
Yeah.
I think the hope is that if anyone's saying this is the future of comedy to some degree, they're saying we hope this is the future of ethnic comedy.
Right.
Because really sick of having to sit through the films that are like, oh, well, only people who watch all black cast films are people who've just gotten out of church.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I really don't think that's true. I hope Rock is able to sell this. I hope they're able to market this successfully to the people who are going to say, feel like we can make movies now that do not belittle our intelligence to go see, right, while supporting black actors, black writers, black directors, yeah, all in one person.
Absolutely.
Chris Rock has made a very smart, very funny comedy with all the feels that, while you, I admit as well, isn't perfect. You can see the seams at points. There's Chris Rock is not a great actor, but he pulls it off more than he doesn't. It's as, you know, I can't remember the last time I said so much, so this is a step in the right direction for this celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
This,
yeah, oh yeah,
is the exact step he needs to take, and I just, all I can do is hope desperately that he doesn't backslide after this.
Pull an Adam Sandler, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. but I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 questions about the difference between white and black people. Because why do white people do this and black people do that?
Take 3 for how white Chris is.
Pretty white is the answer.